Good morning this morning. It's a fine morning this morning. Amen. Amen. I tell you what, you guys ought to change the name of your city from Winter Haven to Summer Haven. See, I'm from the great state of Tennessee, and it's cold in Tennessee. And what a beautiful day the Lord has blessed us with, huh? Wow, 70 degrees. Just such a beautiful day, and what a pleasure to be with you. And I've been here the weekend doing some family lessons for a group, and I'm delighted to share this Sunday, the Lord's Day, with you. So thank you for coming to this Bible class, and I want this to be a class, so if you have a comment or a question, just feel free to jump in. If I were to ask you the question, my family and I share a prayer together, A, every day, B, sometimes, C, very seldom, or D, not at all. What would you say? I'm not talking about the prayers that you pray before you eat, okay? I'm not talking about mealtime prayers. I assume you do that. You're not heathen. You pray before breakfast and lunch and dinner, right? You pray before you eat. But I'm not talking about mealtime prayers. I'm talking about devotional prayers, bedtime prayers, special prayers. My family and I share a prayer together, A, every day, B, sometimes, C, very seldom, or D, not at all. What would you say? Well, I think I know. I mean, if I were to poll the audience, because I've done this survey all across America. I've done this survey all across America, and 90% of the time when I ask that question, the number one answer is C, very seldom. Very seldom do we pray as a family. The number two answer, D, not at all. We never pray as a family. Now we might pray before we eat, but I'm talking about special prayers, devotional prayers. We never pray as a family. The number two answer, the number one answer, we very seldom pray as a family. Well, families that pray together, stay together. That's right. And that's what we're going to be talking about in this Bible class. I'm glad you're here. I want you to open your Bibles, please, to the book of 1 Samuel. It's an Old Testament book that comes right before 2 Samuel. Good place for it, right? 1 Samuel, then 2 Samuel. We're going to 1 Samuel chapter 1. I want you to meet a praying family. A praying family. A praying mother. We have some mothers of this audience, and this is a praying mother. Her name is Hannah. Hannah. Do we have any ladies in this Bible class by the name of Hannah? Any Hannahs among us? Okay, you're going to meet a Hannah this morning, okay? She's a praying mother, and this is a praying family. We're going to learn some things about prayer this morning. In the first place, I want you to know that Hannah teaches us what prayer is. She teaches us what prayer is. Let me just ask you before we go to the text. You think about the word prayer and what comes to your mind. What is prayer? Give me some definitions. Who's got a good definition of prayer? Say it again. Thanking God. Okay, thanking God. Talking to God. Communion with God. These are good definitions. Let me show you the best definition I've ever seen anywhere, okay? It comes from this woman, Hannah, 1 Samuel chapter 1. Maybe you remember the story. Hannah, more than anything in the world, wants a baby. She wants a baby. So she prays for this baby. Look to verse 12. Verse 12 of chapter 1. It came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord. Obviously, she had been praying, and so she continued praying before the Lord. Eli. Who's Eli? Well, Eli's kind of like Slate, your preacher. He's the religious guy, okay? He's the priest, the religious leader. Scripture says, Eli marked her mouth. What does that mean? He observed her mouth. So the religious guy, the preacher, the priest, is looking at this woman who's praying. He's looking at her mouth. Now, Hannah spoke in her heart. Only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. In other words, Hannah is praying like this. Her lips are moving, but there's no sound, there's no voice, okay? Are you with me? She's praying, but there's no sound. Eli just looks at her mouth, and her lips are moving, but there's no voice. There's no sound. Well, Eli, the religious guy, thinks that she's drunk. So Eli said to her, verse 14, how long will you keep being drunk? Put away your wine from you. And I love Hannah's response. Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have poured out my soul before the Lord. Folks, don't miss it. We say that prayer is talking to God, communion with God, thanking God. And those are good definitions. But let me share with you the best definition I've ever seen. It comes from this woman. What is Hannah doing? She's praying. Her lips are moving. There's no sound. But she's praying to God. And Eli, the religious guy, thinks she's drunk. Why don't you give up your wine, your beer? She says, I'm not drunk. I've been what? I have been pouring out my soul to the Lord. You ever poured out your soul to the Lord? When was the last time you really poured out your soul to the Lord? That's the best definition of prayer that I've ever seen anywhere. I tell you what prayer is. Prayer is taking what's on the inside, your heart, your soul, your mind, and giving it to God. The Apostle Paul put it like this in Philippians 4 and verse 6. Philippians 4 and verse 6, he said, be careful for nothing. What does that mean? That's the old King James Version. Be careful for nothing. Somebody translate that for me. What does that mean? Be careful for nothing. Don't worry. Don't worry. He says, don't worry about anything. Be careful for nothing. But, first of all, he tells us what not to do. Don't worry. But then he says, let me tell you what you ought to do. But, in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. You know what he's saying? Don't worry about anything. You ever worry? Sometimes I worry myself, Pete. What about the rest of you? What do you worry about? Name some things you worry about. My car? I worry about my car sometimes too, Pete. This is my son, Pete, by the way. He's 31 years old. And glad to have Pete. Glad to have my wife Sandra with us in this Bible class. And they're traveling with us this weekend. And Pete sometimes worries about my car. What about the rest of you? What do you worry about? Okay, our kids, grandbabies. Maybe you're concerned about the bills that you have to pay. You know what Scripture is saying? You know what Paul is saying in Philippians 4 verse 6? Don't worry about anything. But pray about everything. See, I don't know if anything you can't pray about. I have prayed about washers and dryers. I have prayed about lawnmowers. I have prayed about septic tanks. I have prayed about my kids. See, I don't know if anything you can't pray about. Paul said, don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. Families that pray together, stay together. They really do. Families that pray together, stay together. So when was the last time, besides a meal, you gathered your family and said, let's pray. We're going to pray together. Do you have home devotionals? Do you spend a few minutes, maybe every day, just gathering your family and praying together, reading the Bible together? I don't know of anything that would bless your home any greater than the blessing of prayer. Families that pray together, stay together. So first of all, Hannah teaches me what prayer is. What is prayer? It's taking what's on the inside, your heart, your soul, whatever bothers you, whatever worries you. Be careful for nothing. Don't worry about anything. But first of all, he tells us what not to do. Don't worry. Then he says, let me tell you what you ought to do. But pray about everything. She not only teaches me what prayer is, she teaches me what prayer involves. What does prayer involve? Well, let me show you two elements prayer involves, okay? First of all, prayer involves petition. Petition. Look down to chapter 1. Chapter 1 and verse 27. chapter 1, verse 27. Hannah said, "This child I prayed for, and the Lord has given me my petition." My petition. What is the word? What does the word petition mean? I mentioned to you petition. What comes to your mind? Ladies, you ladies right up here on the second row. Let's say you're about seniors in high school. Seniors. You're a junior, okay? What's petition? What's your name? Brianna. You told me that a few minutes ago. Brianna, petition. Okay, you want something to happen, so you ask for it, right? That's what a petition is. If you want something to happen, you ask for it. What does prayer involve? Prayer involves petition. What do you ladies want? I'm the President of the United States. You come to the President, I can give you almost anything you ask for. What would you ask for? Do you have any requests? Well, I'm not the President, but I know somebody who's greater than the President. It's my Father. My Father's greater than the President. So you can go to your Heavenly Father and you can ask anything, and God says, I'll give it to you. Great Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 7. What does Jesus say? Ask and it shall be what? Given to you. Seek and you shall. Knock and it shall be. For everyone that asks receives, and he that seeks finds, and to him that knocks it shall be open. So whatever you want, whatever you're thinking about, whatever you need, God says, hey, I'm your Father. I want to bless you. I want to give good gifts to my kids. I don't know about you, but I have three children. I have two girls and I have Pete. Hey, buddy. And you know, it really provides me a lot of pleasure to give to my kids. I mean, doesn't it provide you a lot of pleasure as a parent to provide for your kids? Now, if it gives us pleasure as fathers, as mothers, to give good things to our kids, what about the Heavenly Father? Don't you know it pleases the Heavenly Father to provide good things for His kids? So God says, hey, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. So first of all, prayer involves what? Prayer involves petition. Let me show you something else prayer involves. In the second place, it involves praise. Somebody read the last sentence of chapter 1 in your Bible. The last sentence of chapter 1. They worshiped the Lord there. Does anybody have a Bible that says he worshiped the Lord there? He. Does your Bible say they? They. Very good. I learned something in Bible class. One Bible says they. New King James says they. Okay. Other translations say he. To be honest with you, I'm not sure who the he is. Is that Eli, the religious guy? Is that Samuel, the boy, the son that Hannah has? Is that Elkanah, the husband? See, we're talking about a couple today. The couple's names are Hannah and Elkanah. They're husband and wife. And more than anything in the world, Hannah wants a baby. So she prays for this baby. God provides her the baby. His name is Samuel. And Samuel is weaned. But I'm not sure who the he is. They worship the Lord there. Would that be Elkanah, the husband? And would that be Hannah, the wife? I'm not sure. But let me tell you what else prayer involves. It not only involves petition, it involves praise. Praise. We need to praise God. We need to glorify God in our prayers. We need to thank God. If I were to ask you to describe God with one word, how would you do it? In fact, let me just do it, okay? Describe God with one word. When you think about God, who do you think of? Let's just take, let's take these guys right back here. Sir, what's your name? Blue shirt. Duque? Say it again. I'm glad to meet you, brother. I'll just call you brother, okay? Okay, brother. Give me a word to describe your Father, your Heavenly Father. Unpredictable. Wow. And a word to describe God. Awesome. And all-powerful, omnipotent, okay? Gracious. He's a gracious God, full of grace. Very good. Forgiving and Savior. Very good. These are some of the reasons we ought to praise God. He is our Savior. He is forgiving. He is omnipotent. He is who He is. God is the great I am. So what does prayer involve? Well, generally speaking, prayer involves two elements. Two elements. Number one, it involves petition, things that we ask. And then number two, it involves praise. Now, if you want to extend that, sometimes I think about prayer when I think about the word Acts. A-C-T-S. It has nothing to do with the book of Acts in the Bible, but sometimes I can remember the elements of prayer when I think about A-C-T-S. A is for adoration. When we go to God, we ought to adore God, acknowledge God, honor God for who He is. Jesus teaches us to pray like this: Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed. What does that mean? Hallowed. What does that mean? Set apart, sanctified, holy is your name. I love the prayers of those Old Testament people. They usually pray like this: Oh Father, there's no God in heaven above or on earth beneath like you. You're the true and the living God. Usually when we pray, how do we pray? Here's the way we pray. Our Father in heaven, what's the next word? Well, that's what Jesus taught us to pray, okay? But how do we usually pray in church? Our Father in heaven, we address God, and then what do? What's the next word? Father. Our Father in heaven. So often, here's the way we pray. Our Father in heaven, we. Our Father, we. Dear God, we. So often, we quickly go from who God is to who we are. Our needs, our wants. And I think we need to spend a lot more time in heaven just adoring God, acknowledging God, honoring God. There's no God like you in heaven above or on earth beneath. You're the true and the living God. You're holy. You're one of a kind. You're awesome. Just use these words that these guys use. You're our Savior. See, we ought to adore God, acknowledge God. So A, and the word act stands for adoration or acknowledgement. C, confession. A-C, confession. I think there are times we need to confess to God. If we confess our sins, He's what? He's faithful and just to forgive us, 1 John 1 and verse 9. So, I think we just need to spend some time saying, Father, I'm struggling. I need more dependence upon You. I need to pray more. I've been having bad thoughts. Lord, forgive me of my language. Forgive me for telling that lie. Forgive me for those evil thoughts. I've been rude to somebody. I think we just need to be open and honest. God knows our weaknesses. I think we ought to acknowledge those to God. So A is for adoration. C is for confession. T in the word acts. What do you think T stands for? Thanksgiving. That's exactly right. There are things that we're thankful for. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks. Ephesians 5, verse 20, giving thanks always for all things. So there are some blessings for which we're thankful for. What are you thankful for? My car. What about the rest of you? Pete's thankful for my car. What are you thankful for? Young man, blue shirt. What are you thankful for? You're thankful for that you're coloring in Bible class, right? Okay. What are you thankful for? Give me something you're thankful for. You're thankful for games. Well, hey, if you're thankful for games, thank the Heavenly Father for games. Lena, tell me something you're thankful for. Your family, okay? Thank God for your family. What about the rest of you? What are you thankful for? Well, whatever you're thankful for, give it to God, okay? So A is for adoration. C is for confession. T is for thanksgiving. S in the word acts. What do you think S stands for? Supplication, which really is another way of saying petition. Supplication is things that we ask for. So, if you want to, what does prayer involve? If you want to remember it the easy way, just remember two words. Prayer involves petition and praise. We see that in 1 Samuel chapter 1. If you want an extended list, A-C-T-S, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. Now, I love this woman. I love Hannah because, first of all, she teaches me what prayer is. What is prayer? It's not just talking to God. It's not just communication to God. It's that. But I love her definition. I've been pouring out my soul to the Lord. As a family, whatever your concerned about, whatever you're thinking about, as a family, pour out your hearts, your souls to the Lord. And then she teaches me not only what prayer is, but what prayer involves. Two things. Number one, petition. And number two, praise. Now, in the second place, Hannah teaches me when I should pray. When do you think we ought to pray? Well, let's go to this woman, okay? Because this woman, Hannah, answers this question for praying families. Families that pray together, stay together. I want you to notice when Hannah prayed. 1 Samuel chapter 1. Look to verse 8. Chapter 1 and verse 8. Then Elkanah, the husband, said to his wife, Hannah, "Hannah, why do you weep?" Let me just pause right here to ask you, why do you think Hannah was weeping? Why was she crying? What did she want? Yeah. She wanted a baby. She wanted a child. Elkanah's other husband, Elkanah's other wife had some children, but Hannah didn't have any children. And so she prayed, and she was crying. And Hannah was crying, so Elkanah says, "Why do you weep? Why do you cry? Why don't you eat?" I love this statement, verse 8. Listen to this, guys. "Why is your heart grieved?" And then he says, "Am I not better to you than 10 sons?" You know what he's saying? You know what he's saying, women? He is saying, "Hey, woman, cheer up. Don't cry. Hey, you've got me. Why do you need boys? You got me." Kind of sounds like a guy, doesn't it? Kind of sounds like your husband. "Cheer up, woman. Don't be so sad. You got me." That's what he's saying. Well, Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. And Eli, the priest, was sitting upon a seat by the doorpost of the temple. And then verse 10 says, she was in bitterness of soul. Bitterness of soul. "And prayed unto the Lord and wept mightily." She wept sore. Now, I'm told that the word bitterness in verse 10 is the deepest kind of bitterness. The bitterness that you would feel if you lost a child to death. Can you imagine losing a child, maybe losing a parent? This past year, my wife and I, Sandra and I, lost both of our dads. I buried my dad about a year ago. About 4 months later, we buried her father. If you've ever lost somebody close to you, you know about bitterness of soul. Well, Hannah is very down. In chapter 1, she's down. What is she doing in chapter 1 when she's down? She's praying, isn't she? She's praying. When she's down and sad and just in the valley, she's raising her voice to God and she's praying. Now, look over to chapter 2. Look over to chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 1. "And Hannah prayed and said, my heart," what does your Bible say? "Rejoices in the Lord." Now think about it, folks. And by the way, in chapter 2, verses 1 through about 10, you can read her prayer. This is her prayer that she prayed. In chapter 2, how do you think she's feeling? She's up, right? She's glad. Why? God has answered a prayer. She's on the mountain. So in chapter 1, she's down. In chapter 2, she's up. In chapter 1, she's sad. In chapter 2, she's glad. In chapter 1, she's in the valley. In chapter 2, she's on the mountain. And what is she doing in both chapters? She's praying. So Hannah teaches me when I should pray. When should I pray? Well, I ought to pray when I'm down. I ought to pray when I'm up. I ought to pray when I'm sad. I ought to pray when I'm glad. I ought to pray when I'm down in the valley. I ought to pray when I'm on the mountaintop. I ought to pray when things are going well. I ought to pray when things are not going well. Families that pray together, stay together. Pray when you're sad. Pray when you're glad. Pray when you're weeping. Pray when you're laughing, okay? I love 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Let me start it and you finish it, okay? I'll start and you finish. The Bible says pray without... Pete even knows that verse, right? Pete, I'll start and you finish. Pray without ceasing. What does that mean? Keep on praying, right? Keep on praying. What does that mean? Pray without ceasing. What does that mean? Without stopping. I tell you what it means. It means, well, let me show you the best definition I've ever I've ever seen in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, okay? Hold your place in 1 Samuel. Hold your place in 1 Samuel chapter 1 and look over to the book of 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians, it comes right before 2 Thessalonians, okay? Just like 1 Samuel, it comes right before 2 Samuel. 1 Thessalonians, and let's go to chapter 5 first of all. It's one of the shorter verses in all the Bible. By the way, what is the shortest verse in the Bible? That's what we usually say, right? John 11:35. And that's true in English. It's not true in the Greek New Testament. In the Greek New Testament, in the Greek Bible, the shortest verse is 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Usually we think about the verse that says about weeping. Jesus wept. Jesus cried. Well, the shortest verse in the Greek Bible is not about sadness. It's about happiness. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Rejoice evermore. Be happy always. Keep on being happy. That's the shortest verse in the Greek Bible. Now, notice what the next verse says, verse 17. You just said it a few minutes ago, right? Pray without, you know that verse, verse 17? What does that mean? The best commentary on the Bible is the Bible. The Bible explains the Bible. Back up to chapter 3. Chapter 3 of the same book. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, look to verse 10. Somebody read verse 10 for me. Chapter 3, verse 10. When? When? Here's the question. When? Night and day. Night and day. What does it mean to pray without ceasing? Paul tells us night and day. Whatever it means to pray without ceasing, it means that I ought to pray more than I do. Regardless of how often you pray, maybe you pray 5 times a day, maybe you pray 10 times a day, regardless of how often you pray, you ought to pray more than you do. You ever gather your family to pray? You ever have home devotionals, bedtime prayers? I'm telling you, folks, families that pray together, stay together. I'm here to bless you. You want to be blessed this morning? You really want to have a great family? Spend a lot of time as a family praying together. Families that pray together, stay together. Pray night and day. When should we pray? Well, we ought to pray when we're sad, and we ought to pray when we're glad. We ought to pray when we're down. We ought to pray when we're up. We ought to pray when we're in the valley. We ought to pray on the mountaintop. Pray constantly. Pray without ceasing. Pray night and day. Okay. We have two more questions before we get to the two questions. Comments, questions from anybody? Anybody? Comments or questions? I've asked you two questions. Number one, what is prayer? What is prayer? Hannah gives me a great definition. Is pouring out my soul to the Lord. She also teaches me what prayer involves, petition and praise. Then we ask question number two, when? When should I pray? Well, when should I pray? In the valley, chapter 1, and on the mountain, chapter 2. You ready for question number 3? Question number 3. Why? Why do you think we ought to pray? Why do you think we ought to pray? I tell you why. Stay close to God. I tell you why we ought to pray. We ought to pray because prayer works. God answers. That's why we ought to pray. God answers. God answers. I want you to go back to chapter 1 and notice exactly what Hannah prayed for, okay? What did Hannah pray for? Chapter 1, look to verse 11. Chapter 1, 1 Samuel, chapter 1 and verse 11. I love this. I love her prayer. She vowed a vow and she said, O Lord of hosts, if you will look upon your servant, your handmaid, upon the affliction of your servant, remember me, and don't forget me, don't forget your servant, but if you'll give me, what does your Bible say? If you'll give me a what? Now, ladies, we may have some ladies in this audience, and maybe more, maybe you're like Hannah. Maybe more than anything in the world, you want a baby, okay? And if you want a baby, you know what you're going to pray? Lord, let me get pregnant. Right? Give me a baby. Give me a child. You know what Hannah prays for? She doesn't just pray for a child. She prays for a son, doesn't she? My Bible, the old King James, I'm an ancient preacher. I'm a dinosaur preacher. I go back to my mother's Bible, and my Bible says, Lord, give me a man child. Everybody look up here, okay? Everybody look at me. Do you see this guy? I'm a man child. I'm a man child. What's a man child? I'm a son, okay? I had a mama, I had a papa, I'm a man child. I'm a son. You know what Hannah prays for? She doesn't just pray, Lord, let me get pregnant. I want a baby. She says, God, give me a son. If you'll give me a son, I'll give him to you all the days of his life. I like that. I think we ought to pray specifically, not generally. So often our prayers are so general. Let me start it and you finish it, okay? I'll start and you finish. Dear God, thank you for this day and all its many. You guys pray that in Florida too, huh? We pray that in Tennessee. Thank you for this day and all its many blessings. What about this one? Guide, guard, and... You kidding me? You pray that down here? Guide, guard, and direct us. What about this one? Bless the sick and the... Sick and the afflicted. You guys pray that too, huh? What about this one? Bless the missionaries the world over. Yeah. Yeah. Now, I'm not criticizing that. I'm just saying, wouldn't it be better instead of praying for the missionaries the world over, wouldn't it be better to say, Lord, bless Samson, October, in the Philippines? Instead of just praying for the sick and the afflicted, wouldn't it be better to say, Lord, Sister Mary is having surgery tomorrow. Heal her. Get her through the surgery, Lord. Heal that cancer. See, I think we pray so general, but not Hannah. Hannah says, God, give me a son. Now, granted, it's going to be a 50-50 chance, right? Either she's going to have a girl or a boy, right? But she didn't just say, Lord, let me get pregnant. Give me a son. If you give me a son, I'll give him to you all the days of his life. Well, did God answer her prayer? Look down to verse 19. Chapter 1 and verse 19. The Bible says that Elkanah knew Hannah. They had relations together. And the Lord, verse 19, remembered her. I like that. The Lord remembered her. She had asked for a son, and the Lord remembered her. So, verse 20, she conceived, she bore a son, called his name Samuel, because I have asked him of the Lord. Why should we pray? I tell you why. James put it like this in James 5, verse 16. Confess your sins one to another. Be open, be honest, be transparent. Confess your sins one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. And then he says this. My mother's Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. What does that mean? That's a mouthful. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. What does it mean? I tell you what it means. It means when God's people pray, great things happen. You want some great things to happen in your family? You want some great things to happen for your kids, your grandbabies? You want some great things to happen for mom and dad? When God's people pray, great things happen. I'm telling you, folks, there's no greater blessing for us as God's kids than the blessing of prayer. When God's people pray, great things happen. Now, there are three ways, generally speaking, that God answers prayer. Sometimes His answer is yes. Yes, my son. Yes, my daughter. Can you think of another example in the Bible of somebody who prayed a prayer and God said yes? Give me an example from Scripture where somebody prayed a prayer and God said yes. It's yours for the asking. Hezekiah. Very good. What did Hezekiah pray for? Longer life. God said, I'm going to give you 15 more years, right? Lord, don't let me die. I'm going to give you 15 more years. So that would be an example. I think about Elijah. Elijah was just like us. And what did Elijah pray for? He prayed for it to rain. And then it rained. First of all, he prayed, Lord, don't let it rain. It did not rain for 3.5 years. Can you imagine going 3.5 years without rain? You have some beautiful weather down here in Florida, but you don't want to go 3.5 years without rain, do you? It went 3.5 years without rain. And then Elijah said, Lord, let it rain. And it rained. The heaven gave rain. So sometimes God says, yes, my son, yes, my daughter, it's yours for the asking. He did with Hannah. Sometimes God says, wait, not now. Can you think of anybody in the Bible that prayed a prayer and God said, wait, not now? Abraham? Tell me about Abraham. Okay, Abraham and Sarah wanted a son. Now, I assume they prayed for that son. I don't know if I can find anywhere in the Bible that the Bible specifically says that Abraham prayed for a son. Maybe it's in there somewhere. But I think about another example of that would be Zechariah and Elizabeth. You remember that story? I do know they prayed. Luke chapter 1, Zechariah and Elizabeth, they were young, they were in love, they got married more than anything in the world, just like Hannah. They wanted a baby, and so they pray, and they pray, and they pray. And then they wait, and they wait, and they wait. And now they're too old to have a baby. They're old people. And all of a sudden the angel comes and says, Zechariah, your prayer has been heard. Prayer? What prayer? You're going to have a baby. You kidding, God? No, I'm not teasing. You're going to have a son. His name's going to be John. He's going to be a preacher like you've always wanted. When do you think Zechariah and Elizabeth started praying that prayer? When they were old people? After they had been married for 50 years? No, they started praying when they were young, able to have kids. But then they had to wait and wait and wait. And they waited so long that they couldn't believe it. God said, you're going to have a son. You kidding, God? No, I'm not teasing. So sometimes, for our own good, God says, yes, it's yours for the asking. Sometimes, for our own good, God says, not now, wait. And then there are times that God says, no, my son, my daughter, no, I love you too much to give you what you asked for. Can you think of anybody in the Bible that prayed a prayer to which God said no? Paul, what did Paul pray for? Okay, whatever the thorn in the flesh was, a relief of his affliction. What was the affliction? I'm sorry? It bothered him. Okay. What was the affliction, do you think? What was his thorn in the flesh? Okay, somebody said eyesight. Marty, I think you're right. Now, that's just my opinion. I couldn't prove that. But in Galatians 6 and verse 11, Paul said to the Galatians, you see how large a letter I've written with my own hand. It's not a long letter. It's only 6 chapters. But more than likely, Paul took that pen and he penned that letter. I think maybe because of the Damascus Road experience, you know, something with his eyes. Can't prove that. Doesn't really matter. But 3 times God said, my grace is sufficient. So sometimes, for our own good, God says, no, I love you too much to give you what you asked for. I remember 31 years ago, Pete was born. He was born June the 26th. Hey, Pete. June the 26th, 1982, he was our firstborn, and didn't know anything was going to be wrong until he was born. He was born with what the doctors call an encephalocele, a sac outside of his head, kind of like the opening in the spine. His was the opening in the head. We don't know what caused it. Sandra thinks that maybe she had a light case of German measles when she was pregnant. We don't know about that, but, you know, they didn't do the test 30-plus years ago like they do now, and He was born with that massive sack, and they flew him to, in fact, he was born in southeast Missouri, and the very night he was born, he was flown to one of the larger hospitals in St. Louis, and the doctors up there looked at him and said, you know, just take him home and love him. They said, if we surgically remove that sack outside of his head, more than likely, he'll die in surgery. If he doesn't die, he'll just be a vegetable. So we just recommend that you take him home and love him. And I remember praying on that occasion, Lord, just let him die. The doctors don't give us a lot of hope. And if he's going to die, just go ahead and take him, Lord. There's nothing we can do. Just go ahead and let him die. And I remember praying that prayer over 30 years ago, 31 plus years ago. And you're looking at one preacher who's eternally grateful that God did not give me what I asked for. Isn't it wonderful that sometimes God says, out of love, no, my son, my daughter, no, I love you too much to give you what you asked for. So sometimes God says, yes, it's yours for the asking. Sometimes He says, wait, time's not right. God's delays are not necessarily God's denials. You need to write that down. God's delays are not necessarily God's denials. Sometimes He says, wait. And then there are times that God says, no, no. I love you too much to give you what you've asked for. Well, we've asked 3 questions about prayer. Question number 1, what? What is prayer? What does prayer involve? Prayer is pouring out your soul to the Lord. It involves petition. It involves praise. Number two, we ask the question, when? When should we pray? We ought to pray in the valley. We ought to pray on the mountain when we're sad, when we're glad. Number three, we've asked the question, why? Why should we pray? I tell you why you ought to pray, folks. Prayer works. God answers. When God's people pray, great things happen. And then you're ready for number four. Question number four. Who should pray? Should everybody in this audience pray? Who should pray? Well, let me identify from 1 Samuel chapter 1 the people that ought to pray. Go back to verse 11. How does Hannah describe herself in verse 11? What word does she use in verse 11? In her prayer to God, a handmaid or a maid servant. Is the word servant in your Bible? See, I tell you who ought to pray. Who should pray? The servants of God. The children of God. Sons and daughters. Now, I would never discourage anybody from praying. You know, even if an atheist wants to pray, hey, let the atheist pray. If an unbeliever wants to pray, let the unbeliever pray. If somebody who's not a member of the church wants to pray, let the non-member pray. I would never discourage anybody from praying. But think about it, folks. When we close our eyes and bow our heads and we say, Father in heaven, that implies we're His who? We're His children, right? So the sons and the daughters of the Lord ought to be the ones who are praying. The children of God, the servants of the Lord, ought to be the ones who are praying. So I would just ask you, honestly, can you close your eyes and bow your head and say, Father in heaven, is God your Father? Are you His servant? Is God your Father? Are you His child? Scripture says we're all the children of God by faith. For as many of us as have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. Have you been baptized into Christ? We have a number of people in this audience. You need to be baptized into Christ. Why? So that you can become His child, His servant. And then you can honestly say, Father in heaven. Hannah was a servant of the Lord. Well, what do you think, guys? Four questions from 1 Samuel chapter 1. Do I need to stop or can I continue? Is it time to stop? Is it time to stop, Pete? Pete says yes, it's time to stop. I think he's a lot brighter than sometimes we give him credit for, right? He's a lot smarter. Do you have any question about this Bible, from this Bible class? Any comments? What's been helpful to you in your prayer life? Knowing God's will is best. That's right. God knows best. Father knows best. Sometimes we don't understand why He answers prayer like He answers prayer, but God knows best. Very good. Well, it's been a good Bible class, right? And if you don't learn, let me just challenge the men of this audience. Men, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go home and maybe sometime today. I think we ought to start it today. Let me just ask you to do it for 7 days, okay? 7 days this week, every day this week. Outside the prayers that you pray at mealtime, breakfast, lunch, dinner, outside of those prayers, don't go to bed without gathering your family and praying together, okay? Could I just share one other verse? One other verse. Look to Acts 21. I'm excited about this verse. Acts 21 and look to verse 5. We've studied from the Old Testament. You say, Keith, we're not Old Testament people. We're New Testament people. Let me show you a New Testament verse. Acts 21 and verse 5. Paul's on his third missionary journey. He's trying to make it to the city of Jerusalem. And he comes to a place called Tyre. T-Y-R-E. And the Bible says in verse 5 that all the disciples with their wives and children came out of the city. And Luke, the writer, says, we kneeled down on the shore on the beach and prayed. Notice four things from this verse. First of all, notice the people. Who are the people? Well, we have the disciples along with their wives and children. We have the families here. Families that pray together, stay together. The wives and the children, that's the family. The disciples, the wives, and the children. Notice the place. They were out of the city. They were on the beach. They got out from the distractions. Notice the position they kneeled. When was the last time you knelt to pray? Get down on your knees to pray. And then notice the purpose. The purpose is they prayed. So the people, the wives, the disciples, the children, the place on the beach, out of the city, the position, they got down on their knees, and the purpose, they prayed. Hey, before the week is over, this week, let me just ask you, in fact, every day this week, get with your family, get down on your knees, and as a family, pray together, would you? I challenge you to do that. Let me pray. Lord, thank you for the blessed privilege of prayer. Thank you for this Bible class. In Jesus' name, amen.
Appreciate that, Keith. At this